Blog Talk Radio.
Well, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Consulting in the C-Suite. This is Jim Mitchell. And as Lori Husbin joins us on this podcast and talks about things related to the C-Suite, today we're going to bring together a couple of her, let's say, sweet spots, the things that she is good at. One, mergers. And when a merger happens, the HR system that gets, or systems that gets merged. She has a great background in both M&A, private equity, and then a long history in human resources as well. So as we begin, Lori, I feel like I'm hopefully setting you up for success here, but it seems like this is one that we're going to have a hard time just keeping to 15 minutes because I know you've spent so many years doing these things. So I'm looking forward to the conversation.
I am too. Well, you know, we'll just take it as it comes, and thank you so much for the kind words. Very much appreciated.
Yeah, well, we learn so much each time we get together with you, and for people who have businesses really of any size, your guidance can be very valuable as they face some challenging situations. Recently, we've been talking about mergers. You spend a lot of time in that space consulting companies as they go through the process. So we've talked about managing the workforce and communications and many other things. So we're going to talk about the human resources side. So when a sale or merger takes place, is it really a merger of benefits plans, or is there one just that carries over and one that goes away?
Well, I'm going to change things up a little bit and say that it varies instead of depends. So it really can vary. And what I mean by that is, so for example, when we merged about a year and a half ago, so for the first year, we didn't do any changes with benefits. And any time that you are thinking about changing benefits, compensation, PTO, especially when you think about medical, dental, mm-hmm. vision, those types of things, you really want to think about the impact and cost that it's going to make towards the employee and the company. And so what I mean by that is, so like, for example, we had, like I said, we merged two companies last year, about a year and a half ago now, and for the first year, we really didn't do any changes. It was more gathering the information, finding out what's when I'm talking benefits, I'm talking medical. So we took one at a time. We did medical, then we took dental, now we took vision. So medical is obviously the largest, and there's so many different plans. And we basically took 6 months to a year to see who was utilizing which benefits the most. And then when it came time to change, we got other things involved.
So that's interesting. So you're saying is when the two companies come together and form a new entity, employees from one company to the other can still stay on the old benefits package. Those don't have to change the day the companies merge.
Well, correct. And the reason why I say that is in this situation, these two companies they merged, but they were two different entities, so two different EIN numbers. But eventually, mm-hmm. the idea really is to merge it all together, but it will vary and it will depend, again, mm-hmm. on the cost of the insurance so you want to. So the goal is, yes, to merge it all together, but step by step, we did two entities, two different plans in the beginning.
Yeah. So talk to me about the evaluation process. You talked about some metrics you were looking at, who's using what. Who's doing that evaluation, and what are some of the points that you're looking for and trying to use to make a good decision going forward then?
So I work with a benefit broker, so I usually call in the broker at that time. It's really talking with the broker about, okay, what are the plans? You've got an FSA, an HSA, You've got high deductibles. You've got some that are a little bit lower. Some plans are a little bit richer. Some aren't as great. So you want to look at those types of specifics when you're working with the broker. So what happens is the broker will send me, you know, questions. I have to do a lot of analysis. I have to do a lot of census reports, things like that, to see who's on what plan. We talk about, you know, the cost of each plan. And so we gather all of this information. And then the broker will typically go out to the market, find more information about what's trending in other vendors. So if you're using, you know, Blue Cross Blue Shield versus Aetna, whatever it is, they come and do an analysis with that. And they compare all the prices with safer ones. Then we get the finance. Usually it's either the controller or the CFO to come in. And then we do like a cost analysis and what's going to be, how much will the company now do? So, for example, the one company did not have a portion of cost. So there was no employer cost. It was 100% employee paid. And then our other company was 80% company paid, 20% employee paid. So those are things that we're also looking at. How do we match this in the future? So right now we're just going to look at all the details that we can. Next step would be, okay, now we're going to put the cost analysis and all these analysis together, and then we're going to talk about which one are we going to actually go with, and then we need to implement that whole process.
That implementation is something I want to talk about before we're done today, but I'm going to ask you this question, and it's either going to be a very interesting answer, or you're going to say, well, yeah, I just don't know, or it changes, but in a merger, would you be able to say, what's the one thing that's most important to the employees after knowing that they still have a job? Compensation, health insurance, vacation?
I would say exactly what you just said. Anything that's going to impact them, mainly, first of all, it is definitely their position. Do they have one or don't they? And then in that, it is normally they're a little bit more concerned. What I have seen, especially depending upon the age of your workforce. So if you've got a lot of millennials who may still be on their parents' insurance until 26, that's going to be more pay or compensation. If you've got a little bit older generation where they might be moving on to Medicare, or they're right in that middle, right, where they're far enough away from Medicare, they're going to look more at the insurance pieces. And PTO is like neck and neck right up there with insurance. Yes.
Interesting. Lots of great information today from Lori Husband, as always, here on Consulting in the C-Suite. Lori can be reached at 847-401-0014. She always tells us she loves conversation, loves to hear from people, so don't hesitate to use that number and get a hold of her as you have more questions about this and other topics in the C-Suite and mergers and acquisitions and in HR. Compensation, every company has sort of a pay scale. This is what you do. These are the various levels. You move from here to here by doing this. Is that a complex process to kind of bring those different structures together?
Oh, my goodness. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So in this situation, you definitely want to gather as much information that you possibly can. I mean, this same type of strategy would go into compensation as well, is gather the information, and then it's really deciding, you know, how are you going to, because if you make these changes and people are making, you know, more money than somebody else, that's, you have to determine how are you going to raise them so that everybody is fair, and you have to look at the criteria right, so that everybody is fair. So, yes, this is a big one. It's a very big one.
What about, and you, I was interested that you mentioned different age ranges would have different, you know, responses to the various benefits. What about the career advancement path? Some companies have that well laid out, and employees know, again, if they follow a certain path, this is where they might go next. Is there a lot of reshuffling that has to happen there?
That's an interesting question. With everything being more remote these days, it doesn't seem to be as – it's very important. I don't want to say that, but it's not like you have to leave early anymore, right? You're not going to – a lot of times you're not going to a class. You're going to a Zoom class. So it is important, though, for people who want to advance, especially if they want a certificate. Maybe they want to go for their master's degree. Maybe their job is going to advance them because there's a bachelor's required. So I think it's going to depend on the individual's personal and career goals. But to some, it's very important, and to others, it's just not one of the ones that ranks up too high.
So a few minutes left. I want to circle back to what we talked about earlier, which is that process of implementing the new benefits plan, whether it's health insurance or any of the others. You always stress communication. Is that where the process starts once decisions are made and plans are developed?
Oh, yeah. It's again, you know, Jim, I think we've talked about this a lot. I think it's really important to have the difficult conversations. When we went through a brand new insurance plan, pre-sale, it was very difficult for employees to understand why we had to do this medical assessment. And it's very private. It's not anything that would go against HIPAA regulation, but it was to get the most information that we could so that we could get the best plan possible. And any type of change like that just disrupts them because it's dealing with their health and their medical.
And I assume it's important to keep people focused on the job as well, because these are the things people will be talking about and worrying about if they don't have a good understanding of what's happening around them.
Well, I agreed. And I think that to go back a little bit, I think it's really the best to be transparent as to what is this medical, you know, history form I have to complete, or what is this survey I have to do, or what is the importance of it? People will definitely want to know who gets this information. Is my name shared? Your name is not shared. It's really by a number or maybe a part of your SOSH, but it's never in, like, specifically pointing out one person has whatever medical on this survey. But, yes, the more transparent that you are with how things are going to change and what's expected, the more less resistance to change that you might receive.
Before I let you go, Lori, I always like to have you give the phone number, but just give a quick 30-second recap of what it is you do, how you work, and how you can help companies that are going through this merger or sale process.
I work in three specific areas, Jim. One is consulting. I work with the pre-sale. So I work with either owners, baby boomers who are ready to exit, and then I stay on once the deal is completed, and I work with the new owner with post-sale integration.
Well, again, give us that number before I let you go so people can track you down.
847-401-0014.
Great. Lori Huspin, always enjoy the conversation. So great to have you with us each time, and look forward to future conversations as well here on Consulting in the C-Suite. I mentioned in the past, find Lori on LinkedIn. Website is vrc-hr.com as well. Plenty of information out there. So, Lori, thanks so much for taking time to share your knowledge with us, and thanks, everyone, for listening. Looking forward to another conversation in consulting at the C-Suite in the not-too-distant future. Thanks.